Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse, the most educational radio show about our favorite companion pet, the dog. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and Karen is also a co-host of Thursday in the Doghouse. Karen, would you like to introduce our guest today?
Sure. Today we're going to have Nicole Wild on the phone, and she is a noted expert in fear and aggression. She is the author of Don't Leave Me, a step-by-step help for your dog's separation anxiety, which is a book that she just published. And separation anxiety is such a difficult behavior to resolve, but the book is awesome. I mean, it gives owners literally a step-by-step guide, I mean, hand-holding throughout the whole process.
Okay.
And also, Nicole's going to be appearing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on August 6th, and she's going to be featuring a seminar called Helping Your Fearful Dogs. Mm-hmm. So, welcome, Nicole.
Hello, yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hold on just for a minute? We'll be right back. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. We're having a little bit of problems having our guest Nicole on. Our guest is an expert in dealing with separation anxiety. If any of you out there have dogs that are suffering from this very complicated disorder, this is the show to listen to. Nicole, are you with us?
I'm with you.
I'm sorry.
Hey.
There you go. Go ahead, guys. You want to get started, Karen?
And yeah. Two former New Yorkers talking about dogs and paws. How are you, Nicole?
I'm great, thank you.
It's nice to talk to you again. It's been a while since we talked.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about you sharing with our audience today information on separation anxiety, which is such a debilitating disorder. I mean, it just changes everyone's lives. It's very, very difficult to resolve, but, you know, your book, Don't Leave Me, is amazing, and I would like for you to kind of talk a little bit about how you came up with the idea to publish that book and maybe share some of the experiences that you have with your own dog, which you said that she's the whole reason why you wrote the book, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been a canine behavior specialist for a lot of years, and over the years I've obviously seen a lot of clients' dogs who have separation anxiety. And, you know, as trainers we all have our preferred methods of protocols and behavior modification. And I would go in and do the things that had always worked. And, you know, I was able to help a lot of dogs that way and a lot of owners, and that's great. But then, after my dog had passed away and a year had gone by, we were ready to adopt another dog. And I, of course, wanted to adopt a shelter dog. So I went looking, and I found this wonderful female husky mix. And when I went to adopt her, they said, you know, she's been here four times before.
Aww.
And I said, why? And they said, well, we don't know. And so she had been brought in as a stray the last time. And, you know, that didn't deter me. I thought, well, she's maybe got some behavior issues, and, you know, I can hopefully fix them.
Mm-hmm.
So we took her home, And the first thing she did was go around the perimeter of the back area and look for holes in the bottom and, you know, ways to get out and ways to jump over. And I thought, oh, okay, she's an escape artist. That's why she's here. And so, you know, we went about our lives and she was wonderful. And I noticed that when I would go out and do errands, I would come home and it would look like she was just really, really panting. Now, this was in the winter. It wasn't hot outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized something must be wrong. And I set up a video camera, and which, by the way, I think is the first thing you need to do if you mm-hmm. think that your dog has a separation issue, because you really, really need to know what is the dog exactly when you're gone. And that'll right. help you differentiate between separation and maybe, oh, sock party, they're gone, you know, and I'm destroying things. But when I set up the video camera, I came back and I watched that video, and I mean, it was heartbreaking. She was pacing from the door to the window and, you know, looking at everywhere that we left, and she was whining, and then she was barking, and then it was a frantic barking, and then it was this horrible, mournful howling, and this went on for 45 minutes. And it was really difficult to watch. And obviously I realized, oh my gosh, she has a separation issue. And so I started applying all the things that I knew how to do. And, you know, she got better, but I found that certain things did not work with her. She was just that one strange case where so many of the things that you try, you know, you go, oh, I know how to fix this, and you try this A, B, and C. Well, she's going, I've never heard of A, B, and C. I'm sorry. I didn't read that book. You know? And so suddenly I was left with, wow, I better start coming up with something new here. And so I started really kind of coming up with creative ways to solve the problems. And not only that, but I got a real look at how people who live with these issues have to deal with it every day. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, do this, this, and this, but when you're there 24/7 with the dog and you've got a life and you want to go out and do things and see your friends and, you know, whatever, it turns into a whole different thing.
Nicole, it's very difficult sometimes when people adopt dogs and they wind up with this situation and they're so overwhelmed.
Absolutely. And this is not a life-threatening problem necessarily, but it is a lifestyle-threatening problem.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, people, their whole life changes and starts revolving around this dog. Oh, I'd love to go to that concert. Oh, I can't go because of the dog, you know. And so a lot of people do give them up, and that is why I wrote the book, absolutely, because the universe said, here's your next book, this dog, you know. And so I really did. As you said, I created like a step-by-step-by-step workbook for people because I know how overwhelming this problem can feel.
Nicole, in your book,
and say, okay,
in your
one chapter, where can I leave the dog when I go, and let me write this all out, and so forth. Then they have a real comprehensive plan that they can hold in their hands at the end, and they can actually feel like, yeah, there's a chance that I can do something about this.
Nicole, have you negated the old tried and true methods of desensitization and incremental departures and all of that stuff? In your book, do you produce brand new methods for people and that would be universally good to use with all dogs?
Well, you know, Renee, I don't think that there is such a thing as universally effective methods for all dogs.
Okay.
And to answer the question, I did not take out the, you know, doing short departures and that sort of thing to get the dog used to you leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, that is a huge, huge part of any program.
Right.
But what I did do is break that down even further because, you know, a lot of times the literature out there says, well, you know, the dog will get used to it, just leave in short increments and then come back and then make them longer and then come back. Well, that is very, very oversimplified.
Mm-hmm.
There are some dogs who, if you go out of their sight, I mean, if the owner tries to go in the bathroom and close the door, the dog starts getting frantic.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And so I have, you know, depending on your dog, this is what you're going to do. If you don't need this chapter, you're going to skip to the next one. If you can leave the room and your dog is fine hanging out in the living room while you're, you know, in the bedroom, then that's okay. You skip to the next chapter. But if your dog can't let you out of the room without becoming upset, then we have to start doing this other protocol, which is basically, you know, for visual separations and physical separations first.
What about weekend times when the people, the owners are home, they're with the dog, you know, 24/7 for 2 days, and then they go off to work on Monday morning again? I mean, do you allow for this in your book also?
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the things that can cause a problem to begin with.
Uh-huh.
You know, people adopt a dog over a vacation or over a long weekend, and of course it's exciting. Wow, new dog. So everybody wants to spend as much time with the dog as possible.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, they all go back to their lives, and the dog goes, huh? You know,
mm-hmm.
Oh, where did everybody go? Why am I by myself?
Right.
And
you know what,
so
that's a common problem with, you know, desensitization and counter conditioning is, you know, the owners will, you know, implement the process and then, you know, they see improvement and then they stop doing it. So, you know, I think that that's a good point that you make because, you know, when you're working with a program like this, it has to be, you have to continue to do it even when you're home.
Yeah, absolutely, because nobody really wants to get up on the weekend and go out just to desensitize the dog to departures.
Right.
You know, if you just want to like go, wow, I worked a long week and I just want to hang out and I want to sleep and whatever, you kind of have to work on this 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the other things I want to bring up is that, you know, dogs are really cued into what's going on in the environment. You know, all week long, most people wake up with an alarm clock. So when the dog hears that alarm, they know you're leaving. But on the weekend, when they don't hear an alarm, they know you're staying. So it's, you know, I would, like, when I do separation anxiety cases, sometimes I would recommend that the owner have the alarm going off every day, even on the weekends, or eliminating the alarm. If the alarm causes the dog to become upset, then eliminate it and wake up a different way. You know, choose a different sound or alternate the sound so that the dog doesn't have to rely on that cue. Even things that are absent in the environment could be tip-offs that you're going to go.
Yeah, and that brings up another good point, because you're absolutely right. Dogs are cued into your departure cues, and, you know, your departure cues can be anything from, I'm getting my keys, I'm getting my jacket, I'm grabbing my purse or my briefcase, and then they can, you know, back-chain them, meaning that, oh, I know what that one predicts, you know, after you dry your hair, I know that you go and get dressed. And after you go get dressed, I know you put on your jacket. And after that, I know you leave. And as you said, you know, there have been dogs who have actually back-chained the departure cues all the way back to the alarm going off in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
What about inappropriate elimination? Have you guys, either one of you, been called out on what the owner thought was inappropriate urination and elimination in the house, thinking that this was strictly a problem with house training, and then after you take the history, you realize this dog has some pretty severe separation issues?
Yeah, that happens quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would say definitely, and not only inappropriate elimination, but also destruction and barking, because, you know, those are really the top three symptoms reported for separation anxiety are inappropriate elimination, barking, and destroying things. And if you don't really have a handle on what's going on, you know, you leave the house, you come back, and your dog has either pottied on the carpet, or he's been reported by a neighbor, gosh, you know, he barked the whole time you were gone, or, you know, he's destroying things. We really don't know, is he bored, or is he not fully potty trained, or, you know, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
No, and I do want to say that in this book, you do make that distinction.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
A lot of people are under the impression that their dog has separation anxiety when the dog is just bored. Or the dog doesn't have separation anxiety but has problems with isolation.
Right,
and you do make those distinctions in the book. And it's a very educational resource for owners to tap into and get that information. Does my dog really have separation anxiety, or is it just bored, or is it just uncomfortable being alone? I mean, and you have protocols for each one.
Yeah, and I really do want to make the distinction between separation anxiety and isolation distress as well.
Mm-hmm.
Isolation distress is when the dog simply does not want to be left alone. So, in other words, if my dog had isolation distress, I could send him to your house, Karen, and as long as you were home with him, he'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
If he had a true separation anxiety, though, from me, then it wouldn't matter if I left him at your house. He would still be stressed because he was separated from me. And, you know, I have ways in the books, little tests that they can do to figure out which one it is.
Right.
Karen and Nicole, we're going to have to take just a minute here to take another commercial break. Karen is going to explain what services she offers in the Newport, New Jersey area and its environs. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. We are talking with Nicole Wild, a very well-known trainer and very well-known to people like Karen and myself who are in this industry. She's a terrific author. She's a great trainer. Our topic for today is separation anxiety, which is a very serious and complicated behavior disorder suffered by many, many dogs, and I find especially dogs that are adopted from shelters and rescue.
You know, I also want to mention that Nicole's books, especially Don't Leave Me, could be found on her website, which is www.phantompub.com. And she's also available at the Western Pennsylvania Humane Society. She's going to be appearing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on August 6th, speaking about helping fearful dogs. And am I right, Nicole? Would they go to www.karma-petadoption.com?
Yeah, and Karma
to register?
K-A-R-M-A-A.
-petadoption.com. And right there, you know, you can go on and you could register right online. And what's going on with the Western Pennsylvania Humane Society?
Well, that's the venue where the actual seminar will be.
Oh, okay. Okay, so if people go to www.karma-petadoption.com, it'll give the address and everything like that, right? Directions?
Yes.
Okay. And you could also find information on the seminar by going to Nicole's website, again, at www.phantompub.com. And while you're there, you can browse our wide selection of books and training aids, such as the Thunder Shirt and music. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's fabulous.
Nicole, do you believe that separation anxiety is actually a phobia of being left alone?
Well, it's certainly a fear of being left alone. Generally, when we talk about phobias, we're discussing fear reactions that are at the very extreme end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you would think about dogs who are, for example, you know, thunderphobic.
Mm-hmm.
They're crashing through windows because they're so freaked out. With separation anxiety, we really do also have a spectrum from dogs who are, you know, sort of mildly sad when their owners leave, and maybe they whine a little bit for the first 5 minutes and then they settle down.
Mm-hmm.
To the dogs who really are also, you know, injuring themselves.
Correct.
Just trying to get to where the owner went.
Correct. Right. It's very, I'll be honest with you, I would rather deal with aggression than separation anxiety. I work with both. But the planning of a program for the separation anxious dog is just a lot more complicated, I think.
It's not if you buy her book.
There you go. There you go.
It's a great book.
So many trainers say the same thing.
That's right. They would rather deal with
a viciously biting dog than with separation anxiety. And that is an indication, exactly. And you think about it, if a trainer doesn't want to deal with it, how do we think the owners feel who have dogs?
Exactly.
Right.
That's true.
It's terrible. So tell me a little bit about this Pittsburgh appearance. Are you going to be talking about this subject at the Western Pennsylvania Humane Society?
I will actually be speaking about helping fearful dogs. And that would be dogs who are, you know, have fear issues of people, maybe somebody in the family, other dogs. And it really actually includes fear-based reactivity, which, as you guys know, what people call quote-unquote aggression. really mm-hmm. most of it, the majority, is fear-based reactivity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so there is tons and tons of video in this presentation. There's even a case history that they all do together at the end to solve somebody's problem. And I give a lot of tips and techniques. You guys know me. I don't get up there and go, blah, 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 here's my philosophy.
Right.
Who cares? What we all want when we go to a seminar is, what can I take away from this that's going to help me and my dogs?
Exactly.
Will your book be there?
Yes, absolutely. All nine of my books will be there.
Okay, great.
Including Help for Your Fearful Dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great book. I love that book.
Nicole, for those people...
Page all worn out.
Oh, that's good. I love that.
Nicole, for those people who can't make it to Pittsburgh, will you have a CD or a DVD?
There's actually already a DVD available on phantompub.com, which, by the way, is phantompub.com.
Okay.
There is a DVD of this full-day presentation.
Wonderful.
If you can make it.
Oh, that's excellent. Very good to know.
I'll be buying it.
Yeah, me too. So Nicole, how long have you been training dogs?
Oh, gosh, probably almost, 20 years now?
20 years?
Yeah.
And
you should have said 10.
Really? I just dated myself.
No, first of all, I've seen your picture. You're a beautiful woman, and you certainly don't look like you've been training for 20 years.
I love you. Thank you.
Young and pretty. And I've read other things, you know, about you, and could recommend you to anybody for your books, which I have read, but I haven't read this one that we're talking about yet. And today's going to be the day that I purchase it.
You know what I wanted to ask you, Nicole? Do you do consults by distance? Like, say somebody had a problem on the East Coast.
You know, I really don't, Karen.
Would you consult with them from California?
I know there's a lot of trainers who do, but I don't actually offer that.
Okay.
You don't do phone consults, in other words?
No, I don't.
Right. And is it because you find that you really do need to meet the dog in order to do those consults?
Well, that's definitely one of the reasons, and especially in aggression cases, it's really difficult.
Absolutely.
But to be quite honest with you, the other reason is that I am always at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we all?
You know, I mean, I write for certain magazines, and I'm writing blogs, and I'm doing this, and I'm working on books, and, you know, mm-hmm. it's just kind of constant.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. So you're going to be in New Jersey, right? You're going to be in New Jersey soon?
That's in 2012.
In 2012.
Yeah, if you go on my on the website and click on seminars, it'll tell you, because that's the only way I know where I am.
Yeah.
Do you know where in New Jersey you're going to be, whether it's north or south?
I have no idea.
None. Oh, okay.
Sorry, but it'll be on the website.
Okay. Very good.
That's great. So why don't you go over a little bit of maybe one or two techniques that you would use. Say you do have a dog that has separation anxiety. It's not crashing through windows, but it does have problems with the cues, say like the alarm clock or you grabbing your keys. And like, what are some of the points that you share with your readers in your book about how to handle that?
So in other words, if you have a dog who is starting to become anxious during your departure cues, he sees mm-hmm. you put on your coat, or he sees you, you know, just walking around the house doing that I'm getting ready for work thing. Well, one thing that you can do is to mix up the departure cues, so that the dog does not start chaining them together. So in other words, you know, okay, I take a shower in the morning before work, that's a given, and I dry my hair, and I put on my makeup, and I maybe go out and fix their food, and I do this and I do that. So you really need to kind of make a list of all the things that you do. And if you're really not sure, because it's hard, you know, you kind of think, well, I'm doing this now, I'm doing that now, you can actually just let the video camera run and go about mm-hmm. your day and look back at it after. And you just sit there and, you know, with a notepad and say, I did this, 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 and this. And then make sure that you start mixing up the order of those things.
I think when you have a dog with separation anxiety, having a video camera of some sort in the home is critically important.
Absolutely, because you're not going to know, really, is it separation anxiety to begin with?
Right.
You know,
right.
if you don't have the video camera.
And your neighbors may not be complaining that your dog is barking for 6 out of 8 hours.
You know, that's a really good
exactly.
point. That's a really good point, Renee. I mean, I when I'm dealing with a case like that, I often ask them, why don't you, you know, talk to your neighbors and see what's going on during the day. I mean,
right.
is the dog hysterical?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your neighbors could really give you some valuable information. And believe mm-hmm. me, they appreciate that you're asking.
Absolutely.
Nicole,
I want to also mention about the departure cues, that you can desensitize the dog to the departure cues as well. So in other words, if one of the cues is you putting on your jacket, maybe, you know, 10 times a day, you go put your jacket on, and then you take it off. And the dog thinks you're nuts. Mm. But eventually, when you go put your jacket on and walk to the door, and I have a whole thing in the book, step by step, how to do this, mm-hmm. so that by the time you're done with that protocol, you can do all of your normal departure cues in order, and the dog is not going to freak out.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the dog that you put in the crate because it's destroying the house, and you put it in the crate, and the crate's rolling all over the room because the dog's hysterical in the crate?
Do you have any advice for that situation? You need that video camera because we know at the extreme end of the spectrum, if
right.
the dog is really panicking in the crate, that they may try to break out of the crate, they may injure themselves trying to break out,
right.
you know, or they may just self-mutilate because they're so stressed. But if it's not that extreme, you may just come home and go, wow, the dog looks calm in the crate. Because you know what, the dog heard you coming, and now
right.
all of a sudden he's all happy. So you come home and you go, oh, the dog looks fine. He was okay in there,
right?
right? But so obviously you have to be very careful. I think that you have to know whether, and again, in the book, there is a way to figure this out, you know, is your dog okay to be crated? Basically, if your dog is crate trained already, loves his crate, maybe sleeps in there every night, chooses to go there during the day, and is not the type that is going to try and escape, maybe he's okay in a crate. But again, we don't know for sure.
Yeah,
you know, and again, we're not going to just throw a dog in the crate, leave the house for 5 hours, and find out.
Right.
You
right.
know, what we're going to do is put the dog in the crate and see how he is with you in the house,
mm-hmm.
in the crate.
Can well, I just wanted to reiterate again. I want to make sure our audience knows exactly where they can find you. And you can find Nicole on at www.phantompub.com, and that's phantompub.com. And she's going to be in Pittsburgh. She has a million books out there. Not a million, but I mean, I like to say a million. But it, I mean, you will get so much information from her book. She's got DVDs. She's got all kinds of products on there. And you also have you also blog for Dog Star Daily, right?
Well, I've got my own blog, which is Wild About Dogs, W-I-L-D-E, ha-ha. You can Google it. Once in a while, yeah, I'm still blogging for dogstardaily.com and also Victoria Stillwell, who has that fabulous show, It's Me or the Dog.
Mm-hmm.
I blog for hers as well, which is positively.com.
Oh, great.
Great. Wonderful. You're a wonderful resource to have, Nicole, for anybody that owns a dog, and I would certainly invite them to go to your website and buy your book. Can you give us a little bit of a list of other books that people might benefit from buying that you wrote?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. You know, some of the books that I've written are really geared towards dog trainers. I have two about wolf hybrids, which are wolf-dog mixes, which are the first two books I ever wrote, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I also have one on energy healing for dogs.
Really?
A whole different topic. But, you know, if you have a dog who is got physical issues, who could benefit from sort of an alternative therapy, it's also actually good for emotional issues.
What is the name of that book, Nicole?
I'm sorry?
What is the name of that book?
That's called Energy Healing for Dogs.
That sounds wonderful, because I'm into this energy and homeopathy and natural healing and things like that, and I think dogs definitely benefit from that type of work.
I absolutely agree. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
There's even a book for people who want to become a dog trainer.
Uh-huh.
You know what? When I set out to write that book, there was absolutely nothing on the market, and I thought, how can that be?
Yeah, that was an excellent book.
I have no idea what to do.
That book I read, and let me tell you something, I benefited a great deal from reading it.
Oh, great.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being a guest on Thursday in the Doghouse. I appreciate it. Karen and I appreciate it very much. And we would love to invite you back at some time, maybe to talk about another subject, or we can go further with the ones that we have talked about. So I thank you again, and hope that we will be talking with you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Nicole.
Karen, you are also going to interview a veterinarian next week. Is that correct?
Yes, Dr. Sally Foote.
And what is the subject that you want to discuss next week?
Well, she has created a special labeling system for veterinarian offices, which keep track of pleasant things that a dog responds to during a veterinary visit. So the whole goal is to keep dogs calm, make them happy, and make the veterinary visit a pleasant experience. And that's for cats as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be discussing that. But I did want to mention, if you wanted to follow me, you could find me at www.mybestfriendsdogschool.com, and you can also find me in the Star Ledger's Inside Jersey magazine, where I have a column there.
That's
and you could get that at www.nj.com/InsideJersey.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to Thursday in the Doghouse on 1360 AM. And we will talk to you next week from 10 to 10:30. Have a great week.
You too.
Who let the dog?